Really appreciate it. We got a good show for you tonight. Like I said, I'm excited about it. I'm sure we'll probably get off topic a little bit. There's a lot of things locally going on that I may or may not mention at some point tonight or tomorrow. But again, really appreciate it. So we are going to go ahead and jump into tonight's show. So I'm excited. We do have with us Miss Talina Wesley, Miss Brittany Monroe. Definitely thank them for coming on the show tonight and giving us the time. It's a little late. Again, you guys like, share, invite somebody in. Definitely drop a note, say hello if you're in the comments, whether you're sharing it or rewatching it later. We definitely appreciate you and appreciate all the support. But we are going to take a minute tonight, and we have these two lovely young ladies that are entrepreneurs and trying to make a difference in not only their own lives, but those that they encounter. So I think that one of the things that's important, and especially in today's day and age, is that financial literacy, that financial planning. I have a friend of mine that started the house hunting process and how important that is to set you up for that and the things you have to take care of. And then with Vibe and the CEO of Vibe, Tom Malone, talking with him about the necessity of financial planning and literacy within our communities, especially in our minority communities. I think it's very important for us to get the word out. So honestly, this is just kind of like a launching pad for us to get into further conversation and deeper conversation down the road, maybe even doing a serious seminar type thing and have you guys involved in it. But thank you all so very much for your time. We appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Definitely. Now, I would love for you guys to tell the audience a little bit about yourselves, background, kind of, you know, who you are, and then we can kind of go a little further and play with some of these questions we've got.
Sounds good.
So whoever would like to go first.
Oh, you can go first, Brett.
All right. So I am a regional vice president with Primerica. I'm a mother of four. I just had a baby on August 25th, so I'm a busy lady. I'm a wife. I'm just working to build my business and in the same time make sure that I spread an awareness about finances so that, you know, like you said, people in our community, especially the minority community, can have a more solid future.
Definitely.
And then I got Talina on the team. Talina, gonna tell you a little bit about who she is. She's working with me now. She just got licensed to be a life insurance agent, and she's promoting through our company and doing amazing. So you go ahead, Talina.
Hello, my name is Talina Wesley. I'm a district leader with Primerica. I just started about a month ago, as Brett just said, you know, and she recruited me, and I just, you know, the way she recruited me, she just opened up awareness to me about how I need to, you know, help spread awareness to other people and, you know, create generational wealth for me, not only myself, but for other people as well, especially for the people that, you know, in the predicament that I am, that, you know, stopped working for COVID, have kids, you know, just had a kid and needed to be home and stuff like that.
Okay. Definitely. I think that, you know, one of the things that I hear both of you kind of lean towards is that, and you said it specifically, Talina, generational wealth. And, you know, with the faith background that I have coming out of the charismatic, Pentecostal, Kojic background, you always hear about breaking generational curses. Like, you hear about breaking things, but you don't hear about setting up the generation. And so I think that's very important with what it is that you guys are doing, that opportunity. Shanika says, she put in the comments, she's like, generational wealth. And I think that's so important. Like, a lot of times when we look at our finances, it's always right now. You know, there's that that commercial, you know, with the settlements or the annuity payments or whatever. It's like, it's my money. I want it now. And we get caught up in the now and trying to live this lifestyle that we see on social media or that our friends portray around us. I mean, I've been the guy that's been fresh and clean, but my wallet been empty. You know, it's been squeaky clean, you know, but on the outside, you wouldn't know, you know, type of thing. And so I think it's very important that we're able to get our communities, and especially the ones that we know personally, out of those situations. So a little bit about your guys' background specifically, like what was it that made you decide this was the direction you wanted to go? What about you, Miss Monroe?
I love it. I'm so proud watching her because she's so young. And it's just the importance of being able to get a financial plan together while you're young is so epic. Like I always say, I wish I would have started this earlier in life. But I came into this business, honestly, under kind of the same pretenses. So my husband and I, we moved down to Florida. At the end of 2019, and we had money saved up, and we were, you know, planning to get to work, and then COVID hit, and we didn't have any more, you know, he was working at the airport, then he got fired from the furloughed from the airport, and I was designing, like, dresses and clothes for proms and weddings, and proms and weddings got canceled, so our income really was depleted to nothing. And then we had a house fire, so we lost all the stuff we did have in a house fire, our home and everything. And then a friend introduced me to the business, and it honestly was the first time anyone's ever spoken to me about life insurance or investments or putting a financial plan into place. So I was like, this sounds interesting. And then I had thought back to the year before when, you know, I lost my grandfather, and kind of like the turmoil it caused in the family, the trouble we had raising up money, almost not being able to even have a funeral because we couldn't afford it. And I realized how much other people are going through that with not having things like life insurance and, you know, until they die because they never have a sufficient plan for retirement. And I realized how much the community could be impacted by this. So I was like, you know, I feel like it's alignment. I had prayed. I prayed when we lost everything. I was like, I'm either going to do day trading with stocks or I don't know. I got to do something. And then I have four kids. So getting to work and, you know, we just moved down here. I don't trust people with daycare. So it was a perfect opportunity, really.
Okay. Now, you said you moved down to Florida. What part of Florida did you move down to? I'm curious.
Kissimmee, Poinciana area.
Kissimmee. One of my best friends lives down there. He actually pastors down in Kissimmee.
Nice.
Yeah, I lived in Jacksonville for a number of years and, you know, surprisingly miss it at times.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I'm definitely at home in my community here and want to do everything I can to help it, which is one of the reasons we do stuff like this, is because, you know, we want to bring that awareness out. And I think that, you know, a lot of times, like you guys are both talking about the business, but I think what the business offers is almost more important than the business. I think sometimes entrepreneurs feel like everybody needs to be an entrepreneur, and that's not the case. It's not for everybody. But the products that you guys offer and that financial peace of mind that's offered by having a financial plan, by having and setting realistic goals that make sense, by having that life insurance policy, you know, those types of things, when you have that and you're moving in that direction, that peace of mind is, I mean, you can't put a price on that. Honestly, especially after, you know, if you go through losing a loved one and you have to scramble to figure out how to pay for it, you know, cause sometimes it's more expensive to die than it is to live. You know, and if you're not prepared, you know, that can be a different, you know, a bit of a problem, you know, and stress, and that stress can be detrimental to your psyche, your physical health, etc. So with that being said, though, talk to us a little bit about the products that you guys do offer, you know, and the gamut, you know, because it's not just one thing.
Yes, we have a number of products. So we have the first thing that we kind of work towards is making sure people are covered with life insurance. So the way that our philosophy for our company goes is you buy term life insurance and you invest the rest. So the goal of life insurance should be to cover you if you die too soon. And then we tie that with investments for those who live, quote unquote, too long, right? You live past your retirement age. You want to make sure that you can accumulate that wealth and then protect your wealth using life insurance. So we definitely tie those two aspects together. We also help with things like mortgage loans. We help with referral companies we have for health insurance, for Medicare, for like elderly health care. We work with home and auto companies. We work with Vivint. Okay. So we try to make sure we keep a partnership with a bunch of companies to be able to help people in all different types of areas. But definitely, you know, we have a strong focus on being prepared for the future and protecting your wealth. Mm-hmm.
I think, like Ty put up, he said, so true, we need to prepare. So in that time, we don't need to turn to GoFundMe. Stay prepared, not surprised. And I think that, you know, over the years, we have gotten, especially in this country, in a lot of communities, almost spoiled because we have the opportunity for a GoFundMe. So it's like, oh, I don't need this, but GoFundMe is not a guarantee. You know, you're relying on the goodness of people. And when the pandemic first hit, we saw how the goodness of people usually translates, and that's into no toilet paper. You know, I mean, folk were fighting over toilet paper. So I wouldn't rely on many people. You have to prepare for yourself. And, you know, there's the story of the grasshopper and the ant. There's the tortoise and the hare. There's the, you know, there's something to be said for slow and steady. There is something to be said for taking a risk. And I think when it comes to that, building that generational wealth, you have to have a balance there. You know, you do have to be willing to take a little bit of risk with something that you got, but then you also have to look at, you know, those next steps. You know, what do I need? What can I, okay, I can invest this after I make it back. Let me take my investment out and I can let the rest ride if I want to, you know, type of thing. But with that, what do you think your most popular product would be?
It's definitely life insurance.
Life insurance?
Especially in the area we live in. Yeah.
Okay.
I used to live in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And it's a very high crime rate. A lot of poverty is there. So it's important that we definitely make sure that, you know, people are getting covered with life insurance, just because we're seeing people, you know, like a 15-year-old was killed over the weekend. He was shot. So there's people of all ages, unfortunately, that are passing away.
Right.
So making sure that we can relieve the financial burden of funerals is definitely a focus. It sucks to say that it's a focus.
Right.
Because because, you know, they're so young. But we just want to make sure that we can help to get as many people covered as possible. So life insurance would be the most popular. And then we go over into investments as soon as they've got a solid comfortability with life insurance.
Okay. Okay. Talina, are you kind of seeing the same thing in your market?
Yeah, definitely. Poverty.
Okay. Ty says the rock in the house. Okay. Yeah. Ty, I don't know where D's at. D hasn't shown up yet. I don't know what's going on. I think he took the night off or something. But with that being said, ladies, real quick, we are just going to go quick little commercial here, and then we will be right back. Again, big shout out for Vibe for sponsoring tonight's episode and what he does and what that organization does for the community. But to jump right back in, I mean, we have, like you said, the life insurance. I mean, the level of importance there. What, when you sit down with people and you talk to them, what is usually their biggest concern or biggest hesitation with getting into or purchasing a life insurance policy or getting into the investments? What is people's biggest concerns usually?
It's expensive.
Expensive? That's how they feel. That's kind of I can't do it. It costs too much. That's their thought process.
That's the first thought until you actually able to sit down, you know, break it down to them that, you know, it's really not expensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say people's the biggest concern they have is due to their lack of knowledge. They don't know what life insurance is. They don't know that it is the key to generational wealth. They don't know, like Talina said, that cost is, you know, if you buy Starbucks once a week, you can pay for life insurance.
Say that again. I don't think they heard you. I really don't. I don't think they heard you. Well, because, see, I'm adamant about this kind of thing, you know, personally, because I've seen so, especially being in ministry, I've seen so many families get in, you know, they end up in such a negative position because they weren't prepared. Or, you know, it's like my son, I don't want to leave my son a closet full of J's or Tim's. You know, I want to leave my son a legacy. I don't want my son to have to get anything out the mud if he doesn't have to. Like, my whole job as a parent should be preparing my child to be in a better situation than I ever was. You know, and I listen to so many parents oftentimes talk about this, oh, well, you know, you don't have to struggle. You're right. They shouldn't. My kids shouldn't have to struggle like I struggled. You know.
That's why I'm doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't have to.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that, you know, going back to that phrase, that generational wealth, like I'm caught on that right now. And I don't know why tonight, but I'm caught on that because for so often, like I said, coming out of the charismatic faith, you know, background that I have, you hear about the generational curses, but you don't ever hear about building. You don't ever hear about really leaving a legacy. You know, and I want to leave something tangible for my son. You know, my son, even before he graduated high school, we were having conversations about life insurance policy, about investing, about, you know, purchasing a home. You know, at 18 years old, he already knew what he wanted to invest in first. And, you know, those conversations don't happen oftentimes. And, you know, like a friend of mine, you know, when I talk to her and she's talking about this home buying experience, you know, she's like, man, I wish I would have been told that these things would have been, you know, were going to be important. You know, and like you're saying, you know, it's Starbucks every day. You know, it's really that cheap for most people. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I just
when it's all said and done, yeah, $2 a day, Yeah, basically.
Okay. Okay.
Depending on what type of coverage that they want, it might be $3 a day, $4 a day, you know, but mm-hmm. everybody spends it on a daily basis, you know?
Right. Definitely. Did we lose Brittany? I don't know if she froze, if we lost her.
I think she froze out a little bit. She's gone back in.
Okay.
But yeah, not even just spending a day. People spend that a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
More important, Netflix or leaving your kids, you know, money and be able to not have them struggle to bury you and deal with the mortgage if you have the house, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The final bills that comes along with that, because, you know, you're going to have parents have credit cards. You know, I have a couple credit cards. You know, I don't want my kids to have to deal with my bill.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't prepared.
Right. And you know, I worked in collections for, you know, 10, almost 15 years. And, you know, that's some of the things that, you know, you hear about, you know, and you try to help people with is like, listen, you don't want to leave all this negative baggage. They're going to have enough to deal with trying to, you know, deal with, you know, the emotional aspect of the death. And then not only that, but the financial burden that brings. Like I said, when we first started, it's not always cheaper to live. Sometimes it's, you know, cheaper to, you know, stay alive. And sometimes it's more expensive to die. You know, and people don't realize that. And so being able to be prepared and set up is definitely, definitely important. So what do you see as far as, like, you mentioned that they think it's too expensive. Once they make the determination that they're going to purchase a policy, what do you see as some of their hesitation at that point? Or are they usually kind of on board?
It depends on the person's, you know, their financial status, you know, what they're willing to, you know, sacrifice, like I was saying, is what's more important, you know. If you have coverage on your house and your car, so your kids wouldn't have to, you know, deal with the devastation.
Mm-hmm.
Brett probably would have more to go into that once you know it up, but
okay.
Yeah, that's basically my thoughts into it. Like I said, I'm just getting into it, but.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen for myself, that's what it all pretty much falls down to, is people willing to sacrifice the things that's not necessary.
Right. Yeah, you know, sometimes, for me, I'm a real big proponent of the short-term sacrifice in order to make the long-term gain, you know, and if that means that, you know, I don't go to the movie theater, you know, if I'm accustomed to going to the movie theater every week, or if I'm accustomed to, you know, going out to eat 3 times a week, well, maybe that means I only go out to eat once and go to the movies twice, you know, to make the benefit, you know, into what we have going on. We got CinemaScapes watching on Twitch. I got Rolling on Facebook, Ty on Facebook. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Ty asked the question. He says, and I don't know if you guys can see it there, but it says, explain the real difference in have it and not, the ways it could really help someone, because just because it's life insurance doesn't mean it's only for funerals. And that's a very important thing, very important aspect. People feel that it's just, you know, you only have access to it if you die, and it's only for the funeral. And that's not entirely true.
Right, that's definitely true. I don't know if Britt's on.
I don't know, she keeps freezing up.
But, yeah, no, it's not only for funerals. You can definitely use it for other, expenses. Like, say if you were sick, you can take out some money to cover your medical expenses as well. You can, yeah. I wouldn't say you can take it out. You can go out and go take out.
Like borrow against it?
Huh?
Like borrow against it?
Yeah, borrow against it for like traveling expenses and such, because that's not really a need. Like a need is more of a want.
Right.
But you can definitely get out loan on your own policy for mortgages and stuff like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Car, if you need a car, if your kids need daycare, you got to pay for that as well, and you can dip into your loan. your policy to pay for that.
Yeah, there are certain things that you can borrow against your policy for in order to help you out. You know, Britt's having some technical problems, unfortunately. But, you know, definitely it's something, you know, people don't, they don't really understand the different avenues that you can go and that you can use your life insurance policies for, or different retirement funds that you have. You know, people use them for, to help them with their down payment on a house, or they have emergency situations, medical situations. There's various things that, you know, you would qualify to be able to borrow against. So that's definitely an important aspect to pay attention to and to realize. And one thing I want to encourage people is ask questions. You know, ask questions. You know, it's not, it used to get taught, oh, just have savings. Well, sometimes just having savings alone isn't enough. Ty says use it like a savings account.
Right. Sometimes it's not enough. Social Security is definitely not enough, no matter how much you work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that falls into it as well.
Yep. Samurai Rowan, he's watching on Twitch. He says, appreciate you guys giving tips and info. Appreciate you tuning in, sir. Appreciate the support. And like Ty said, again, use it like a savings account. You know, those life insurance policies, they're important, but those other investments are important too. You know, because they can set you up to grow. They can set you up to make bigger moves. They can set you up. That small investment can prepare you for the big investment. You know, but if you just live paycheck to paycheck, and don't ever evaluate what you're doing. Like, where am I spending my money? You know, that's important. Where am I spending the money? Why am I spending the money? You know, sometimes, you know, people spend frivolously because they're trying to, it's almost like a self-medicate. You know what I mean?
Right. Where the financial plan would come into play, so you could see where your money's going, so you could see how you can invest it, you can see how you can save it.
Exactly. Britt, you back with us?
I am back. I am so sorry. My phone started overheating. I'm like, what?
No worries at all. No worries at all. We're glad we got you back in here. We actually just brought up, Ty was wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that you can use life insurance policies for something other than funerals. It's not always just for funerals. You know, so Talina was sharing a little bit about that. Don't know if you want to, you know, share a piece of that, you know, for people that are listening.
Yeah, so with life insurance, there's the benefit of life insurance is to start leaving generational wealth. So, I mean, if you're someone like Talina, if you're in your 20s, you can literally leave behind your family hundreds of thousands for like $20, $30 a month. The idea behind that is so that we start to lift ourselves out of a bracket of, you know, like for Black people, our average income is $17,000 a year. For, you know, a Caucasian family who's more wealthy, they're literally 10 times more. So if we're leaving behind wealth and we're passing down wealth each generation, then, you know, you're seeing wealth be passed down. You're starting off from a higher, you know, you have a higher position financially. But then there's policies, there's added things in the policy also that benefit you other than having to use your life insurance when you pass away. Like our policies are gonna, you know, if you become disabled, we cover the costs for people who have disabilities so that they don't lose life insurance because you're unable to work. We have a terminal illness rider, meaning, you know, you, God forbid, you have a terminal illness, we're gonna make sure, you know, we make 70% of your policy available for you because we also know a huge issue is, you know, people having access to money for medical. Mm-hmm. So we don't want things like terminal illness and you not getting the proper treatment to be something that's, you know, stopping you from living longer. But our policies cover that terminal illness benefit. So there's so many things life insurance can do for you. I truly believe it can really start to bring us out of a place where we don't have to be dependent on, you know, the assistance. We don't have to live in areas where schooling isn't good because we'll have the income to eliminate all of that if we all just collectively put, you know, things like life insurance and investments in place.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's one thing that you like tie with Vibe. That's a big focus of theirs, that financial literacy, that education, you know, making sure people are informed. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get informed because you don't know where to go. You don't know what questions to ask. And most people that are outside of the minority community, if they're the resource and they're approached, they're not going to answer, or they're not going to give you free game. You know, they're only going to answer the questions you ask, and they're only going to answer it with minimal information. That's just the reality behind it. And people can argue with it if they want to, but at the end of the day, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You know, and as much as we want to say there's an equal playing field there, unfortunately there's not. And so it's so important that, you know, we're helping individuals educate themselves, regardless of what decision they end up making, at least make the information available to them.
You know, that's what I always say. Mm-hmm. At least give them, you know, I can teach you how to fish, but it's up to you to make something with it.
Exactly. So I had asked Talina before you had froze up, when individuals get past that moment of, oh, it's too expensive, oh, I can't pay for it. CinemaScape says exactly. You know, he's definitely an individual that, you know, you can't argue experience. You know, I appreciate him tuning in and chiming in, because he's definitely got a wealth of that. But I had asked Talina, after they get past the I can't afford it, and you show them that it is affordable, these are options, there are policies that are affordable, what then is the biggest challenge for an individual? What, let's say they even purchase the policy. What then becomes the person's next challenge to overcome?
Remembering that you paying your policy for 1 month does not mean you are going to be covered forever. So it's the challenge of remembering why you got life insurance, and remembering that, you know, this is an investment. This is a literally a lifelong investment. You're going to pay for life insurance until you pass away, but helping them to see the goal is that, you know, the goal is to make sure that while you're on your journey and you're tackling your goals and you're tackling your dreams and accomplishments, that if anything happens to you, your family, your children still need your finances, especially if they depend on your income. So they're still going to need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, they get life insurance, and you know, if we don't work well enough to give them the value of it, or if they don't see the value of it, then, you know, when they're stuck in a pinch, life insurance, unfortunately, is one of those first to go.
Okay. So do either of you have, Shanika says, she says, accountability, responsibility. I think that's huge. There's a lot of, you know, what's important and the why. Like you said, you have to remember your why, because, you know, myself personally, you know, the amount of time I spend working, when I want something, I want it, you know. But if I have a larger goal in mind that requires my financial attention and my financial responsibility, you know, it's, I have to make that decision. What's more important? You know, and for me, legacy is more important. For me, making sure that I'm leaving that generational wealth, that I'm building something or having the availability to build, you know, is hugely important to me. So success stories, like whether it be yourselves or people you've encountered that, you know, they've sat down and they've done a, you know, gone through some financial planning and budgeting even, and you know, their situation has kind of gone from night to day.
Yeah, I think I definitely would be my own success story.
Okay.
Throughout my life, my husband and I haven't had trouble creating income. He's a professional athlete. He's a boxer, so he gets paid really good for what he does.
Okay.
But prior to me coming to Primerica, we would have money, and then, you know, a year later, it's like, where did that go? We don't have anything to show for it. We don't have anything saved. So that's why when, like, COVID hit us, it was like, dang, we thought income would keep coming in. No, you know, we were expecting fights to come in, because who knew actual sports would be shut down, right? Mm. That's when I knew it was real.
Right.
NBA is not, no more. Disney World is closed. I was like, what? But being here, I definitely made sure that I practiced what I was showing others. I made sure that I was investing 20% of my income. I made sure that I paid myself first. That's a really huge thing. People need to pay yourself first. And then, you know, budget what's comfortable for you. Obviously, do a budget, but make sure you, every time you get paid, you pay yourself for the future. So I started to apply that for myself. You know, my entire family is covered with life insurance. And then, you know, being in this business and being able to help so many people through this business, through what I've done, I've been able to create a six-figure income here. So, you know, just being successful in the company, applying what the company has taught me, and then working just to show as many people as I can either the opportunity or the with the company as, you know, employment, or the opportunity of making sure you at least take advantage of things like life insurance and investments, just because there's not a single person I'm going to run into ever that's not going to need something that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So just connecting with as many people as possible. So I've had a really good amount of success. I'm happy. I've been able to help put back, the last time I checked, it was $3.2 million back into the community. So
that's awesome. And that's important to, you know, we talk a lot about doing different things, and but, you know, our own communities, to be able to say that the people around us are who we helped, and the people around us are who we've helped financially, or to get themselves in a better financial position. You know, I remember, you know, at one point, you know, as a Bible college student, we used to joke that we lived on ramen noodles. Like, that was it. Like, just ramen noodles is how... Yeah, listen, just that, and we had an Applebee's down the road from the Bible college I went to in Ohio, and you know, right down from the dorm. So, you know, it was half off munchies, and it was true half off munchies. Like, anything that was on the appetizer menu was half off after 9 o'clock. You know, so you survived on ramen noodles, and you survived on half off munchies. That was just what we did. You know, and that was when I got into credit card problems. You know, I swiped the card and was like, ooh, that felt good. And and I don't have to pay for it right now. Oh, this is nice. And then the bill showed up.
Yeah.
And they didn't want a piece of it. They didn't want a little bit of it. It was rough. It was rough. Yeah. But you know, I think that's important to be able to sit down with somebody. And like I said, even if at the end of the day they make the unfortunate decision of going, no, I don't need these things, at least you presented them with the information. I think you know, we perish for a lack of knowledge. You know, we don't educate ourselves. We don't know what questions to ask. But to have individuals that are in our community that are willing to present the questions along with the answers is so very important. Now, who would both of you say, you know, and it's an individual question, but your who you look at as an inspiration? If you have to name one or two people that are an inspiration to you, who would they be?
You go first.
Well, I would say Britt is my inspiration because, you know, my goal is to be like her or better, you know? So she's
better.
Greater.
No, why you can be better because you're younger and you have more time.
Right. Thank you. And I don't know who my second person would be. I guess the company, because they're giving me this opportunity to do that, you know?
Okay.
I love it. I would say my entire team I work with inspires me, but honestly, looking at Talena, when I first met Talena, I saw myself, and not like myself now, but I saw me 10 years ago, right? I saw me when I was in my 20s, and I had, you know, kids. I had my first kid when I was 17, so I was a teen mom, and I know, you know, I saw the drive in her, and it was just like, for her to get it, because I didn't get it at her age, obviously, or I'd be even further ahead, but for her to get it so young, it's inspiring. It just lets me know that there's hope. And I know that because she's so young, she can connect with, you know, the group of people around her age who this is going to benefit the most, right? Because they're going to be the ones that we need to make sure that we get them to get it. Because everyone in their 30s, 40s, you know, they may or may not take advantage of life insurance, you know, in investments. I want them to, but it's really that future generation. Like, if we're going to make the change, we've got to let them know this is the way you need to move. This is how you're going to see success. This is how we're going to get out of all those troubles that we're going with, you need to apply these two things. So I'm excited for her doing that. My other inspiration would be my husband. I watch him stay so dedicated to building his business around sports and, you know, working when, you know, in downtime and making sure that he doesn't get discouraged by things that are going on around him. And I found it to be an inspiration because sometimes I do get discouraged. You know, you're especially when I'm talking to family who's close to me and, you know, I want to see them make good decisions and they just don't want to hear what I'm saying.
Right.
It's tough sometimes because I'm so passionate about it, but he tells me, you know, keep that tunnel vision. You know, those along the way that are in your path, there's going to be somewhere on your peripherals. Just focus on keep going forward. So.
Okay. What would, Brittany, what would you say your greatest success is?
My greatest success is being a mother, teaching my kids all the things that I wish I knew. Having a head start with them, you know, just spending time with them, you know, just making sure that the things that I felt I liked as a kid or information I felt I lacked or you know, confidence or just making sure that everything I feel like they need in life I equip them with.
Okay.
So that's that one area that if you look like if I fail in this area, like life's over. Life doesn't matter. So that's the one area I have to be successful in.
Okay. So speaking about the one area, what would you say currently your biggest failure has been in life? And before you answer, let me preface by saying or clarify that myself personally, I don't see failure as a negative.
Yeah,
I view failure as a necessity on a lot of levels. So I'm just curious what you would say your biggest failure was.
That's a good one. Because like you said, I look at failure as just an opportunity to learn from the experience and try to avoid it later. My biggest failure was probably racking up student loans and not finishing school.
Yeah, okay.
No, seriously, I would say I don't know.
Okay. Talina, what about you? What's your biggest success? Your greatest success?
I want to say my biggest success at this moment, seeing how I didn't graduate and I didn't go to college or anything like that, and, you know, getting my license to sell life insurance.
Okay.
And then going to go get my security license, and then I'm going to go get more license on after that. Mm-hmm. So this is my biggest success right now because I didn't do anything else, and
So I'm gonna say this for everybody that's watching. Okay, this is whether you decide to go to college or not, whether you decide to go to a trade school or not, whether you decide to be an entrepreneur or not, Shanika says congrats. Whether you decide to work for somebody or not, at the end of the day, you got to do what you feel you got to do is. And just because, I didn't graduate. Okay, Ann, you know what? I mean, you can't dwell on that. You got to move forward. Look at what you did do. You're a mama. You got your, like you said, you got your license. You're selling life insurance policies. You know, you're taking those steps. And not only are you helping you, but you're helping other people. And as, you know, I think that that's so important because I think a lot of times we, especially in, you know, various communities, we tend to get down on ourselves or the rest of society gets down. Because you didn't live life the way I think you should have lived it. Well, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean you're not successful. You know, so I definitely applaud you for that, you know, and you know, talk about, well, I didn't graduate. Okay, so you didn't graduate. Big deal. Big deal. Look at what you are doing. You know, and I think
you
that's...
You saved on those student loans, and I'm
yeah, right? You know, you could have got a $60,000 piece of paper and you know, not do anything with it, which is what a lot of people do. A lot of people go to school, get a $60,000, and that's on the cheap side, you know. and turn around and not really deliver or end up making the bad decisions. Shanika says everyone's journey is unique. That's true. Everyone's journey is unique. And, you know, that's something that I like about financial literacy, is because even though the basis of the information is the same, its application is unique to each individual and their goals and their circumstances. And you know what? Just because you can't invest, you know, $15,000 doesn't mean you can't start investing. Just because you can't get a $5 million life insurance policy doesn't mean you can't start with a $500,000 life insurance policy. Like, you know, just because it's not a go big or go home. It's a go. You know, you got to do something, and you got to do something different if you want to see something change, and if you want some type of legacy. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you got to do something different.
Right.
You just have to, because paycheck to paycheck, it's not going to be beneficial when the rubber meets the road and you end up in circumstances and situations. And, you know, I'm thankful for ladies like yourself that are, you know, breaking, essentially, I say breaking barriers, but you're definitely making a statement, making a stand, you know, and being willing to help your community where other people haven't, you know. So that's huge, and that's something that I find awesome. So we are getting ready to wrap up a little bit here, but next steps, I mean, like, somebody wants to take a look at the product, somebody's interested in the business, how would they contact you? What do they need to do? What's the process?
Anyone who is listening, if you can hear the sound of my voice and you are not covered with life insurance, or you only have life insurance where it's covered through your job, you need to reach out to us. Reach out to us. You can contact me. I don't know if you can share my information.
I can. You can put it in the comments.
Yep, you can contact me or Talina. We work together, so, you know, make sure you reach out to us, just because it's so important.
Do you have an email that you want me to?
Yeah. Can I chat? Put it in the chat?
Yeah, you can. If not, I can type it in real quick and it'll go on all the platforms.
Okay.
But I was saying that, you know, life insurance, the most common thing I think we hear people say is that I'm covered through my job. And it's amazing when I hear that people are covered through their job, because I'm glad they have some type of coverage, but with your finances, like, would you leave all your money with your job? Like, you don't want to leave something so important as life insurance, because if you stop working for them, if you're not benefiting them, they're not going to benefit you. They're not going to cover you if you leave their job. And what we're seeing is that so many people are, you know, they're staying covered with their job and they're staying at their job till they retire, right? Which is amazing. But then we've got 60, 65-year-olds going to get life insurance, and now instead of paying $30 a month because they're closer to their life expectancy date, the price is higher, and they're paying $100, $200 for something they could have gotten earlier and saved on. So I always say, make sure you have a policy outside of work.
Okay.
Just because there's so many stipulations they don't tell you, it's not included in them as well. But yeah, if you don't have life insurance, definitely reach out to us. If you're looking to get investment started so that you can make sure working your entire life is not a predicament that you have, we put financial plans together for you. You can start investing with us for just $25 per month. So we literally, you know, we have life insurance policies for as low as $15 a month. We've got something for everyone's budget, and we work to put a plan together for you so that no matter what your goal is, we can put together a plan so that you can work to achieve those goals.
Okay, outstanding. Well, we got both of your emails in the comments right now up on the screen as Brittany's. And then this is Talina's. Like I said, it's in the comments. You can reach out to either one of these ladies if you're interested, have questions, even remotely curious. You know, start the conversation. And, you know, get the information, educate yourself so you can make smart decisions. Like I said, this is just kind of a launching pad into, you know, future episodes and a future series, you know, as we continue to discuss financial literacy. I think it's necessary in the community.
Definitely.
And you know, it's too many of us are struggling because we just don't know.
Yes.
You know, we don't know what's available. So with that being said, I want to encourage everybody that's watching. Ty says, great point. He says, thank you, ladies, so much for your time. It's appreciated. And it is. Thank you all very, very much for your time, especially this late. You know, both mamas, both the little kids, you know. And so I appreciate the time you're taking for the people. And, you know, I know the people watching now and those that will watch later will as well. But thank you all very, very much. Appreciate it. One more time, big shout out for all you Marines out there. Happy birthday. And a big shout out for Vibe Voices in Black Empowerment. Cinema Steaks, good night. Hope you enjoyed your night. Hey, those of you that listened to the intro at the very beginning, the very, very beginning, the first piece that was played, that was actually by Black Silhouette. I want you guys to check his music out. We'll have it up here as well. But, you know, big shout out to Vibe Voices in Black Empowerment for kind of setting this up and opening the door for a that financial literacy, that financial education. So definitely check them out. Vibe, V-I-B-E, 716.org. And we appreciate it. Thank you all very much. You as well, Dr. Harvey. Appreciate that, Ty. Dr. Mayor. Again, thank y'all very much, and we'll catch y'all next time on Reflections.